Take your holy book and turn to Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter number 9. Daniel chapter number 9, verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Exarchus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years. Wherefore, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and done wickedly, have rebelled even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants, the prophets, which spake in Thy name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us is confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries where Thou hast driven them, because they're trespassed that they have trespassed against Thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, and to our kings, and to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against Thee. To the Lord God, the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against Him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His laws which He had set before us by His servants, the prophets." I want to preach on this thought tonight. I've got to be my help on what the Bible says. What the Bible says. If we look at this and we see Daniel as he's looking at this and he's talking about the first year of Darius as he comes in. He's made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. And Daniel has come to a place in his life and he's been received. He's received the visions from God. Amen. God's been showing him some things. You say, where did Daniel get his vision? Where did Daniel get what he needed from God? He got it from the Word of God. See, Daniel says himself the first year of his reign, "I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years." He said, "Wherefore the Word of the Lord came in Jeremiah the prophet." So what does that tell us? It said that Daniel was reading Jeremiah the prophet. He was reading and studying in Jeremiah the prophet. And Jeremiah the prophet was speaking to him. And through Jeremiah the prophet, God was speaking to Daniel. And he was giving him these visions from God. Amen? This wasn't just something that Daniel come up with on his own. It was something that God gave him, praise God. And so he gave him the vision of not only the visions, but he gave him the interpretation of dreams. You know, like the king had dreams and Daniel was able to interpret them dreams. And he was through because of the power and anointing of God Almighty that he was able to do these things. Amen. So what we see in Daniel, we see that he's reading the scriptures, praise God, and he's seeking understanding. Amen. And so he begins to read about the history of his people. Have you ever thought about reading the history of your people? Do you even know where you come from? Amen. You might not want to know. I don't really want to know where mine come from. Amen. But part of them come from Ireland. We were of our Irish descent. Amen. That explains a lot, don't it? Amen. That's where our massy temper comes from. Glory to God. I'm glad God's able to control even that. But we see him and see Daniel's reading the prophets of Jeremiah, and he's reading the history of his people, and he probably reads over in Jeremiah 25 where Jeremiah's talking about those 70 years that they're going to be in captivity, and he sees that he's coming toward the end, that those 70 years of captivity would come to an end. So what the Bible does, even Daniel's time, the Bible gives Daniel hope. So where did Daniel get his hope from? He got his hope from the Word of God. The same place you and I get our hope is from the Word of God. There's no other place you can get it. You go looking in the world, try to find hope, and you won't find it. You'll find a lot of disappointment, but you'll not find a whole lot of hope. But Daniel got his hope from the world, from the Word of God, not the world, praise God. The world was not significant, praise God, within itself. The prophecies was significant to expound to him the Word of God, the truth of the Word, praise God, so that he could have the ammunition, praise God, to move on forward for the Lord. Amen. But praise God. But people should realize the prophecies. Amen. The prophecies that God's given us. We don't see everything we need to know, but we ought to be looking in order to see. Amen. We ought to see what God's saying to us, and we ought to look and see the prophecies that's been fulfilled already, and the prophets that's still yet to be fulfilled. Well, can we believe tonight, church, that the prophecies that we know the prophecies have been fulfilled? Praise God. And we have prophecies that's yet to be fulfilled. So do we know that those prophecies that's yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled? The answer is absolutely. God will absolutely fulfill what's left to be fulfilled. Amen. He's going to take care of it because he promised he would. So we see the inside, if you will, of Daniel. His insight come from the Word of God, the truth of the Word, of what according to what the Bible says. Amen. That's where his prophecy come from. That's where he received his vision. That's where he received the help from God, praise God, to interpret the dream was what God Almighty was showing him. He was laying out about what is and what was and what is to come. And that's how Daniel knew. How do we know? How are we going to know what's going to take place in the future? Because what God said, because God said so. Because of what God said. Amen. So that's where we get our insight tonight. Your insight and my insight come from the Word of God. Amen. And so when Daniel began to get his insight from God and God's Word, then he began to get, he began to be able to be an intercessor and do intercession for his people. The only way we're going to be able to pray for our people, great God, intercede for them, is because we know God's will. We know what God wants to take care, how God wants to take care of them. You know, the sinfulness in our life, the things that we do that's contrary to the Word of God. You know, that makes him sad and breaks his heart. So Daniel begins to lay it out, and we see the Word of God in prayer that takes place in verse number 5. He said, we have sinned and have committed iniquity. You know, it takes a big person. Now listen to me tonight. It takes a great big person to admit that we're sinners. Amen. To admit our iniquity, our sinfulness that we have in our lives. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a sinner. The Bible said we've all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have sinned. Every one of us are sinners. Amen. Let's not get too heady and high-minded thinking that we've been saved and that we're no longer sinners. We're just sinners saved by grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're just sinners but saved by grace. That's who we are. And we see God begin to make intercession, praise God. The Word of God and prayer, it go together to begin to make a difference. He said, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, have done wickedly, and have rebelled. I mean, could you imagine somebody standing up today, somebody that you know, a friend of yours, and say, you know what, Brother Jeff, I'm just no sinner, I'm just wicked and vile, I've sinned, I've rebelled against God, I've done things that I'm ashamed of. Amen. Hey, that'd be good. That's repentance. I don't have to not necessarily tell Brother Jeff about it, but I need to admit that to God. When I admit it to him, praise God, then he can begin to help me, help you, that we don't do the same things that we used to do. That's salvation, brother. That's sanctification. That's getting for a place where God can bless our lives, where God can help us, where we can begin to be an intercessor for others. See, till the people realize that they were sinful, that there was iniquity, that there was rebellion in their lives. Amen. What is rebellion? Amen. What is rebellion? Rebellion is when we go against that we know we shouldn't go against. Amen. Rebellion is when God says this is what's right and we do that's wrong. Rebellion is what we do, Luke, when mom and daddy say, hey, listen, this is what you need to do and don't you do that. But we do that, they say not to do because we want to. It's rebellion. Amen. And newsflash, we all tend to do it. Amen. Have you ever noticed if you tell, especially a little kid, if you tell them not to do something, they're going to do it if it hair-lips the devil. Amen. They're going to do it because that's just what they do. Amen. Yeah, hey, if you don't believe me, you just look at my little granddaughter. You tell her, no, you can't do that. I mean, she's going to watch you out of the corner of your eye, and she's going to do her absolute best to do it sometime or another. Now, she may not do it today or tomorrow, but sometimes she's going to try to do it because you told her not to. Amen? That's rebellion. If we ain't careful, we get caught up in rebellion, and it becomes a part of who we are. And Daniel's saying to him, he said, Lord, this is who we are. But he said, we're sorry. He begins to say, we've sinned and we've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly and we've rebelled against God. We've done those things that you said not to do. And that's why we're in the mess we are today. Amen? But he said, but he begins to say, he begins to confess his sinfulness of himself, the sinfulness of the people, and he begins to seek the righteousness of God. He said, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Then look at verse number 7. He says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. Amen. Being able to do right belongs to God. Amen. I said, being able to do right belongs to God. We're not living in our righteousness. We're living and trusting in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. My righteousness is filthy rags. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. Those that was used to bind the wounds of leopards and had to be discarded and thrown away, they're no good. Amen. My righteousness is no good. If I try to do good within myself, I find no good in me. That's what Paul said. You know, preacher, I wouldn't say that. Hey, Paul did. He's a whole lot a greater, praise God, than me and you. Amen. A sinner just like us, but we seek the righteousness of Christ. He said, but unto us, confusion of face is at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel. He said, we can't leave nobody out. Everybody has done this. Everybody has committed sin. He said, we're looking at the Word of God, we see God, and we see what the Bible says, and said, it's beginning to help us. And he said, I'm just coming to make intercession for the people, for myself and those around me, for the nation of Israel, praise God. Amen. So when he begins to ask God for forgiveness, if you look over in verse 17, 18, look what he says. He said, now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant, his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. He didn't say for my sake. He could have said, hey, Lord, do this for my sake, Lord. But he said, hey, Lord, I want you to do this. This place that's been cast down, this place that's desolate. He said, I want you to look upon it, pray God, your face shine upon it, and for your sake. He said, so that you get the glory. Amen? We come here and we worship Lord. We don't do that so that we can be seen. We do it so that God can get glory out of our lives. So we come here, worship, and brag on Him, lift Him up and laud Him, because He is the King of glory. Amen. He says in verse number 18, he says, O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. He said, we do it because of God's glory, praise God. And he said, we come and praise the Lord. He said, we're not necessarily praying for ourselves, but he said, we're praying for Jerusalem. We're praying for the holy place. We're praying for all the ones and the place where you gather with us, where you meet with us, where you give us encouragement, where we come together, praise God, not to be seen, but praise God, to see you high and lifted up. A place where we can bring glory to your name. Amen? Praise God. He's praying, he's interceding, especially for Jerusalem. Had you think maybe that he had read Jeremiah chapter 29? Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 10. The Bible says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. That's good news. And you might say, that's good news from a far country. He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What kind of end does God expect for us? God expects us for an end of encouragement. God expects us an end of blessings and blessedness and righteousness and holiness. That's the end that God has for us. He said, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. He said, hey, listen, he said, you've done caught the ear of God. Daniel says, what I'm doing for you. He said, hey, listen, I'm going to try to catch the ear of God and intercession for myself and for the people so that God gets the glory. Amen. Praise God. He said, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. How do you find God? When you search for him. When you seek him out. When you look for him. When you listen for him. With all your heart. Praise God. He said, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. In other words, he said, I'll set you free. Are you burdened down tonight? Are you bound down tonight? God says, if you'll seek me, praise God, seek me early, said, you'll find me, and said, I'll set you free. Praise God. He said, I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I've driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. So the Lord says, hey, yes, you know what? I'll come to where you are. I'll deliver you. I'll set you free, and I'll bring you back into that happy place. I'll bring you back into the presence of the Lord. I'll bring you back in that place of peace and joy and happiness, praise God, that the whole world would like to have tonight. And they're looking for it, praise God, in all the wrong places. Amen? You'll find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. He would go on in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse number 10. Jeremiah 30 and verse number 10, he would say this. He said, therefore, fear not thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Amen. That's a promise from God. Amen. Will it come through? Is that prophecy that'll be fulfilled? Absolutely. There's coming a day when Israel will be at peace in Jerusalem. There's coming a day when that land will be in peace because God said so. He said, you'll be at rest and you'll be quiet and none will make you afraid. He said, for I am with thee, saith the Lord. That makes a difference, doesn't it? But he said, I'm not just with you, but he said, I'm with you to save you. That's what God does first, right? He comes to seek and to save that was lost. Amen. How many of you were lost? Amen. Every one of us. How many of us was found? Amen. Everybody has been saved. Praise God. Glory to God. He said, though I have, thou make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Now look what he said here. He said, I'll not leave you altogether unpunished. He said, for thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. Amen. He said, there's nobody that can take care of you. There's nobody can heal you. There's nobody can offer you any protection. He said, all thy lovers have forgotten thee. Over there in the Middle East, Israel's an island to itself. Amen? The only one that's really, truly standing with them is the United States of America. God help us that we always do. He said, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquities, because thine sins were increased. There's a day of reckoning for every one of us. Every one of us is going to have to stand and give account for our sinfulness. Amen? He said, verse 15 says, he said, why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be spoiled, and all thy prey upon thee, that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. It don't sound good for that side, that team there, does it? For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion whom no man seeketh after. He said, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city she shall build it upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgivings and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. He said, God said, I'm going to bless them, and I'm going to multiply them. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to build them back. Only God can do that. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them. And I'll cause them to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I like that part, don't you? Amen. Glory. He said, behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, and continuing whirlwind, and it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. But now watch this. And the fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days he shall consider it. So Daniel read this. He read Jeremiah, praise God. And he said, you know what? We may not have hope in this world, but we've got hope in the Lord. And he began to read. He began to study. He began to break it down for the people. And he began to give them that intercessory. Praying and lifting them up. And saying, you know what? God's made us some promises. And God will come through. Amen. No matter who you are, where you are, where you're at, praise God, God will come through. So Daniel had the insight, he had the intercession, praise God, to pray for himself and for his people. And then what else did he have? He had instruction from the Lord. God began to instruct him. He began to give him that he needed to overcome the obstacles that he was going to face. Daniel chapter number 9, verse 120, he said, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord God, my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Listen to what happened. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Amen. Daniel said, when I was a-praying, praise God, I was speaking, I was praying, I was confessing our sins, I was getting things right with God, I was getting to a place where God could help me and manage me and give me encouragement. Praise God, I could encourage myself even in Him. And when I got doing that, when I got to that place, when I got that situation in my life, God Almighty sent a messenger from heaven. Gabriel, praise God, that was the angel of the Lord, praise God, that would minister for the nation of Israel. He said he come flying to where he was. Amen. He begins to tell us what's going to take place. He said how Israel will be rebuilt, how the temple will be restored. Amen. As you go down through here and you read these and Daniel's supplication, the beginning of the supplications, and the commandment came forth. He said, I came to show thee, it says Gabriel, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, consider the vision. He said, just think about what you've seen. I think about what God's told you. I think about what God's got in store for you. I praise God, it's not a fairy tale. It's not a myth. It's the real deal. Amen. Praise God. He said, I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. And he goes to tell him that 70 weeks were determined unto the people and upon the holy city. 70 weeks, 70 years, praise God, of transgression, 70 years that they're having to pay for. But God says, hey, listen, He said, God's going to bring you out of that. Amen. He's going to deliver you. He's going to forgive your iniquity and your transgressions and your rebellion. In verse 26, he said, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jerusalem's going to be rebuilt. He said that the temple is going to be restored and that the Messiah, praise God, would come and he would die for the people. He'd die for a nation. He'd die for me and you. Amen. Praise God. Was prophecy fulfilled? Will prophecy be fulfilled? What does the Bible say? It says, praise God, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would come, praise God, the anointed one of God, and he'd give his life for the people. That's me and you. Amen. For the nation of Israel and me and you, so we could get in. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, he would come, he would die, praise God. And then we see the Bible says that they would be an evil prince that would rise up. Verse 26, in the middle of the verse, he said, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, that's the Antichrist, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and at the end of the war, desolation are determined. Amen? He said this evil prince would come along, praise God, and he'd break a covenant that he made with the Jew, and it would trigger the desolation that would have it take place in the Antichrist. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for a overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Amen. So he said, what's going to take place is God's, in God's program, and God's vision, he gives it, lays it out for Daniel. And Daniel sees, has the insight. He sees the intercession, and he hears the instruction from the Lord. He said, this is what's going to take place. This is what has to happen. Amen. So what is it? It's prophecy. It's prophecy being fulfilled. Daniel was seeing the manifestation of the power of an almighty God. Amen. And he was rejoicing over it. All this stuff is going to get, but what happens? But God triumphs in it all. You can't miss the big picture. All this transpires. All this takes place. But God will triumph in all of it. God's going to come out the victor. Amen. Jesus Christ has already won. Amen. Boy, if we could ever get a hold of that. If we could ever get a hold of that, Jesus Christ is the victor. Amen. He done plucked out the sting of death. Sting of death, praise God, don't even have a stinger no more for those that are born again that trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Praise God. He's done made stingerless. Praise God. He said that Jerusalem would become truly become a holy city. Amen. A place where poor men can go and worship God in spirit and truth, where the power of God would be there. Amen. Praise God. He said it'd be a time. Now listen. And I'm done. He said there'd be a time when men would begin to have an opportunity to make a decision. Amen. Did you know that we are free moral agents? God gives the ability. He don't beat us in the head and make us receive Jesus Christ and trust in the Lord and worship and praise God. He don't do that. He makes us free moral agents to do that on our own. Amen. To worship and praise God. He gives us the ability to make that decision for ourselves. And I just say don't wait too long to make that decision for yourself. You make that decision for yourself, make it today. Amen. Decide to say, you know what? I'm just going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to try to keep my family in church. I'm going to try to do the things. I'm not going to commit iniquity. I'm not going to rebel against God. Amen. Make a decision. Amen. Make a decision. I praise God. Because if not, you're going to be rebelling against God. Amen. And what you can if you want to. You can rebel against God if you want to. But we've done ready or here. It ain't going to come out pretty. It ain't going to come out well when you rebel against God. It's better just trust the Lord and go with God. Amen. You say, why, Pastor Jeff, why should we do it? Because God will accomplish His purposes. Amen? God will He'll accomplish His purposes. He'll accomplish His purposes in this world. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, what is God's purposes? What's His purpose? His purpose is, He said in the beginning in the gospel, He said, it's to save old sinners. What Jesus come to do? Seek and to save that was lost. The whole purpose of God is to save, seek and save old sinners unto Himself. Amen? And the other purpose of God was to set up and establish His kingdom. What did He tell us to pray? He said, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? He said, His whole purpose is to establish a kingdom, a place of magnificence where God can be. Amen? Where God is. But it's where He is where He wants us to be. So what do we see? We see a confidence that we can have. Amen? When we can pray. We can pray even like John did. Amen? John said, even so, Lord, come quickly. We should be able to pray, Thy kingdom come, O Lord. Amen? So we're ready. We're looking for it. We're expectant. Amen? Any minute, we could be there. A moment, a twinkling of an eye. Man, we could go from here to yonder. Be in the presence of the Lord forever. Wouldn't that be a glorious thing? Amen? But what does the Bible say? And so Daniel said, praise God, he said that we could be part of it. Amen? He had the insight to know what God was saying. He had the intercession, praise God, to pray for himself and others. And he had instruction from the Word of God how this thing was going to play out. He said, you know what, I'm just going to get in the game. I'm just going to ask God to help me and let God to use me and lead me, show me and guide me in the way, in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. I'm just going to go with God. It only makes sense. It's just pure logic. Amen? It's the best way. It's the only way. It's the only road to victory. Amen? Do we get to see the Lord Jesus Christ, see old sinners saved, and see the kingdom of God coming in power and might and great splendor and glory. Can you imagine, amen, what it's going to be like one day when we're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, we get to reign with Him. Amen? We get to reign with Him. You know, it would tear us up if our mind could just really comprehend that. Amen? The magnificence of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and us partaking with Him in all the splendor. Amen? Praise God. What a day that'll be. Daniel's just laying it out here. God's showing us. He's anticipating these promises and these promises and prophecies being fulfilled. Then say, hey, people, said, listen, this will come to pass because it's what the Bible says. Amen? It's what the Bible says. And you can believe the Bible. Hey, you may not believe these crazy people on the televisions and everything else and all the things that's going on in the world, what they say is going to happen, what they anticipate will happen. But praise God, we have the precious Word of God. We have the truth of the Word that is absolute truth. Absolutely. Amen.